Now, the scriptures that I've got to read tonight, there's just two of them, very well known. And I'll start with the New Testament in Luke 24, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 13. Just read a few verses. And behold, two of them were going on the same day to a village distant 60 stadia from Jerusalem, called Emmaus. And they conversed with one another about all these things which had taken place. And it came to pass, as they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself, drawing nigh, went with them. Verse 28, and they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made as though he would go farther, and they constrained him, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is declining. And he entered in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he was at table with them, having taken the bread, he blessed, and having broken it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from them, and they said to one another, was not our heart burning in us as he spoke to us on the way, and as he opened the scriptures to us? Rising up the same hour, they returned to Jerusalem. And verse 36, and as they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst and says to them, peace be unto you. My second scripture is just one verse in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 1. I'm sure you'll know what verse I'm heading for. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm sure it will not sort of pass the notice of those that know me well that Luke 24 is a very special chapter of Scripture to me. Just to think of those persons who have been through such an experience, disappointed, disillusioned, discouraged, no wonder they were reasoning with one another on the way. But the verse that I wanted to draw your attention to in a very special way was that Jesus himself went with them. That verse has been upon my heart because I can tell you in the gospel that God knows exactly the way you feel and the way you are. He knows my heart. He knows it better than I know myself. But if I tell you this honestly from my heart, there's many a time when I've been discouraged and disappointed, but I've experienced what it is that Jesus himself comes with me. This is the Saviour that I want to present to you tonight, because he's what we call in a homely way an all the way home Saviour. I want to tell you tonight of the wonder of what he's done when he suffered at Calvary. That's why I read from Isaiah. But I want to tell you too that he's a Saviour who wants to be near to you right where you are. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts, as we were reminded a few weeks ago. The God with whom we have to do knows even our thoughts. But he's still prepared to be with us. And tonight in the gospel, he would speak to our hearts to tell us of the wonderful love that was displayed at Calvary that we spoke about this afternoon. The love of a Saviour who suffered there upon the cross. The love of a man who was crucified between two thieves And as we were reminded this afternoon, it was almost as though they were near enough to touch him. And friend, the question that I raise with you today, are you prepared to reach out to a Saviour who's that near to you that you can have to do with him? Because if you never have before, you need to. I'm not preaching at you. I was a sinner too, and I still am. I thank God I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace. I thank God that I know the Saviour that I'm telling you about. I know he lives. He's one I trust. He's one I've given everything to. Because he's given everything for me. And that scripture that I read at Isaiah, I know I'm perhaps referring to the scriptures back to front, but it doesn't matter. They're all one. They all speak about my Saviour. Because when Isaiah, and remember this, that verse in Isaiah was written 700 years before it happened. That was a prophecy that was given to us, that God was giving the hint, if you like, through Isaiah's prophecy, those 700 years previously, that there was an opportunity of salvation for men. That if our sins were red like scarlet, that they could be as wool. Though they were crimson, they would be as white as snow. And I preach a gospel tonight that is to tell you that whatever your sins may be, however great they may be, however dark before your eyes, I can tell you of a Saviour who's completed a work on Calvary's tree that can make your sins as white as snow, just as though they were never there at all. And the message that Isaiah presented all those years ago was, come now. Come now. And let's reason together. That to me is one of the most amazing phrases in scripture. That God should be prepared to reason with a sinner like me and like you about your sins. And moreover, as he reasons with you, he doesn't condemn you. Because he's got a righteous basis on which to forgive you. And that righteous basis has been secured by the work of Jesus, his beloved Son. When he died on Calvary's tree and shed his precious blood so that your sins could be washed away. And he's done it. We read it actually this afternoon when we were looking at the Bible. He said, it is finished. Done. Completed. Well, you say, what have I got to do? Well, I used to preach that you didn't have to do anything because everything was done. And in a sense, so it is. There's nothing you can add to the work that Jesus has done. God is satisfied with what Jesus has done upon the cross. The shedding of his precious blood has established a foundation upon which you can be saved. It's a rock that will never move. It's sure and it's firm. But God requires that all men should repent. Now, what does that mean? Oh, it means, dear friend, that you need to turn to God in sincere sorrow for your sins. And turn away from them. And God has a righteous basis on which he can forgive them. That's the wonder of the gospel. It's not just words that a preacher says. It's not even, and I say reverently, words that come from the Bible, though the Bible is absolutely true and God's word. But it comes from the heart of a God who lives tonight in the glory. The man called Jesus, who died upon the cross at Calvary, is the man who lives. And I love him. I love him because he loved me. He loved me enough to die for me at Calvary, to give his life, a life that was so precious before God. It was absolutely perfect. He was sinless. That's why God's wrath had to be poured out upon him and him alone. And he's borne God's wrath. And he's exhausted God's wrath. And the truth of the gospel is that I can go free, knowing that my sins have gone forever from before the sight of God. In fact, not only that, but I love this part of the gospel, that my sins have gone as far as the east is from the west. Gone completely from before the sight of God. If my sins were recorded, they've been made as white as snow. If they were ever printed, the prints erased. And God has promised, moreover, that not only is the record gone, but that he'll never remember them anymore. Amazing, isn't it? The gospel. When you think of what God has done in his love for sinners like you and me, he gave his son, his perfect son, delivered him up upon the cross at the hands of wicked men. And he died so that I might live and that I might go free. Now look, that salvation's available for you tonight. Now is the accepted time, the scripture says. And really the writer of those words in Corinthians is only saying what Isaiah said. Come now. Come now. You could almost take every word in Isaiah's verse and preach the gospel for it, from it. He says, come now. Come. What does that mean? Oh, that you listen to the gospel. Because it's 6 o'clock on the Lord's Day evening. No, friend. It involves that God is speaking to your soul. And you need to come to Christ. To own him as your personal savior. To tell him that you feel your need of him. That you're a sinner. And that you're prepared to have to do with him. And you want your sins to be washed away. He'll do it. He's never refused to cry to him. Why, somebody referred this afternoon to the disciples when they were in the boat and the storms were rising. And Jesus was asleep in the boat and they cried. Did he carry on sleeping? He might have chided them for their faith, lack of faith. But he awoke and he rebuked the seas. This Saviour is the Creator too. And he's able to control even the elements that we see around us. Friend, he's the Saviour of sinners. He's the one who's able to meet the sinner's need. And today, if you'll only trust in him, you can know too what it is to have your sins completely forgiven and that they'll be as white as snow. But when I come to Luke 24, it's a very practical chapter and I love it because it often fits me. Often I find myself walking a pathway, and it says of these two that they reasoned together. How much time we spend reasoning over things in our minds, don't we? wondering, working things out. Friend, there's one who is the saviour of sinners, and he's ready and willing to draw alongside you just where you are. You know, he didn't turn them round straight away. It says here that they were going to Emmaus, which was about a 7-mile journey, apparently. And it came to pass, as they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself, drawing nigh, went with them. I love that verse. How often my own mind has been in turmoil. How often my heart has been torn in this direction and that direction. And sometimes I appeal in prayer for an answer to show the way. Offering God's answer is that Jesus himself will be with you. And he listens to them. He asks them questions. He goes with them all the way. And then they come to the place, to their destination. And it says there that it was towards evening and the day was declining. Now I want to remind you that there is such a thing as we refer to as the day of grace. And what that means is that the gospel is preached today, but the day is declining and it will close. And the serious thing is that we don't know when. We think it'll be pretty soon. Because things around in the world give us that understanding. And the scriptures too. But no one knows the day nor the hour except God the Father. And when he gives the word, this saviour of sinners, Jesus, will come for everyone that loves him to be forever with him. Now that is very wonderful for everyone who trusts him. But what about those who don't? That's a solemn part of the gospel, you know. That's why Isaiah said, come now and let's reason. That's why Paul said, now is the accepted time. That's why the hymn writer said, why will you risk the peril of a lost eternity? Friend, the Lord is coming soon. And scripture makes it quite clear that things will change. You're coming to the door of this room, 6 o'clock on a Sunday evening. Door is open. Gospel's going to be preached. But those that love the Lord are no longer here. What thoughts will go through your mind? An opportunity. Many opportunities in the gospel to trust in Jesus, to have sins forgiven. And we missed them. Why? Was it his unwillingness to save you? No, it wasn't. The only thing it could have been was your unwillingness to trust him. Now, friend, these things are realities. This isn't religion. This is the truth. And the Bible tells us so. Someday mercy's door will close. As the hymn that we sometimes sing says, some guest will be the last. But it doesn't finish there. It says, yet there is room. And there is. There's room for you tonight. There's room for you to come to Christ. There's room for you to have the peace that comes with trusting in this wonderful Saviour. and I commend him to you. I can't promise that the gospel will be preached in this hall again. I can't promise that you'll have time to think about it overnight. But I can tell you this, that the Saviour is willing to save you as you are right now. Just as I am. Haven't got to improve. Haven't got to dress up for it. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. That blood that was shed at Calvary. That blood that was shed for sinners. That blood, the power of which is able to wash the sins away completely. That blood has made peace with God. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Scripture says so. Wonderful conversion in Acts 16. That's where you'll find it. Somebody trusted in Jesus, and he was saved. Well, the day is declining, but he comes in and he takes his place amongst them. And then what happens? Well, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They recognized Jesus. They'd had to do with a person. This wasn't just an account of what had happened historically over the last 24 hours. They've been speaking about that. But no, what happened was that they had to do with a person. And their eyes were opened to see the glory of a Saviour. God's man. Blessed Son of God. The one who had been sent here to meet the sinner's need. This was him. And what happened? Their hearts were burning within them. That's what they said. That's what they admitted, that while he was speaking to us from the scriptures, while he conversed with us, while he went with us on the way, while he was near to us, our hearts were burning within us. This was the Saviour. This was the one who was able to meet our needs. This was the one able to dispel the disillusion, the disappointment, the discouragement. This is the one who was able to do it all. And what happened to them? They turned round. That is, they knew that the Saviour who had been with them was the one whom they should trust, and they wanted to be for him. That is, that their pathway was set in relation to Christ as the centre. Oh, what joy when Jesus came in amongst them. That's why I read that last verse. I didn't just want to read this section without leaving that bit too. Peace be unto you. There he is. He comes into the midst, this glorious Saviour. Oh, how their hearts must have rejoiced to know that the one who was able to meet their needs was the one that could bring peace to their hearts. Friend, the gospel can bring peace to your heart today. And Jesus knows your heart. And he's prepared to go with you and be with you. God himself is prepared to reason with you. Come, let us reason together. These are wonderful gospel truths. They relate to my Saviour who lives in the glory. A Saviour whose love hasn't changed one whit from the time when he died on Calvary's cross and he loved you so much as to give his life for you. And now he lives, a Saviour in the glory. and he's willing to save you tonight. The question is, are you willing to trust him? Will you own that you need him? Will you put your life, as it were, in his hands and trust him for what lies beyond death and for your life here? Because he's a saviour you can trust for everything. I commend these scriptures to you. They're precious to me. They have been, thankfully, for many years. I want them to be precious to you too. God's holy word that tells us about the love of Jesus, that tells us about the precious work that he's done, that tells us of a way of salvation that's open to whosoever will today. You can come and trust him and know this peace that he brings into your heart. Do you know, it'll be a long time before there's peace in this world. But there's peace when you trust in the Saviour. Because you've got an anchor for your soul in something that'll never change. You're founded upon a rock that will never move. It's founded on the precious love and promises of God. And in that, you can trust. Friend, tonight, if there's anyone here who hasn't yet had that personal transaction with the Saviour, I would say to you now, do trust him. I could point you to many here tonight who would say they've never regretted what they've done in trusting the Saviour. You may not have a conversion as dramatic as Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, but God has promised salvation to everyone who believes in Jesus and repents of their sins and has faith in his beloved Son. The way is open to you tonight. Come to the Saviour and trust him while you may. And may God bless the word to us, prisoners. Amen.